let's start with, what was the impetus to start a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in Delaware? I'm sure some people are asking themselves, is one really needed? But perhaps that's the whole point, let people know about this kind of part of Delaware history that they're probably not familiar with.
Well, Tom, in your question, you've actually made one of the two key points. The first point, I'd say, is that it's better to honor someone's achievements while he or she is still alive and able to accept and enjoy the recognition. And given that rock was born in the 1950s, that puts most of its pioneers in their 80s, perhaps older. Some have passed away. Others have already had long and fruitful lives. As to your second point, as the years go by, obviously there are fewer people around who remember the early days of rock, and those who do genuinely believe that those memories are worth preserving. Now, Delaware might not have had any rock musicians who turned out national top 40 hits, but Wilmington did have a couple of recording studios. Some of their radio stations kept their own top 40 lists. Bill Haley and his Comets, famous for the legendary song Rock Around the Clock, were based in Chester, Pennsylvania. Haley performed often in Delaware, and he lived for a while on Falk Road just over the Delaware state line. And there were a number of Wilmington teens who would regularly head to Philadelphia after school, where they were regular dancers on the Dick Clark's American Bandstand show, which was started in Philadelphia and eventually aired nationwide.
So there is a rich history to delve into. And one thing your piece notes is that this hall is looking to highlight individuals and groups that are truly Delaware, not kind of famous folks who pass through or might have a passing connection to the first state, right?
Well, yeah, you're right about that, and certainly there are a couple who pass through who are not likely to, they aren't in the first class of the Hall of Fame, and they aren't likely to be inducted in the future. One of them, Bob Marley, the legendary reggae singer, lived in Wilmington for a couple of years in the 1960s, and he worked at the old Chrysler Assembly plant in Newark. And there's a small park in Wilmington that honors Marley. It's in his old neighborhood up off Tatnall Street. But Wilmington really had minimal significance for his musical career. Similarly, in about the same time, that iconic folk singer and composer, Bob Dylan, married a woman who lived in Wilmington. So he, too, passed through town but didn't make a lasting impression here.
So having kind of pushed them off the table, tell us a little bit about some of the people who are going in this first class, and what was the thought process behind putting together this first group of inductees?
Okay. Well, obviously, I've talked to several of the hall's co-founders, and their goal in putting together this first group of inductees was to honor those who came first. Others might have had more illustrious careers, but many members of this class began making their mark in the 50s or 60s. Some of the bigger local names of that era, but hardly remembered now, were a couple of doo-wop groups, Teddy and the Continentals and the Five Diamonds. Then there was the Hurricanes, a local band that backed up well-known groups like Danny and the Juniors, the Platters, and the Shirelles. And there was a singer named Lou Cass, who's better known today as Lou Casapula, a member of the Casapula Sub Shop family. A couple of the better known inductees aren't musicians. The honorees include the owners of two popular rock venues from the 70s and the 80s, Bill Stevenson from the Stone Balloon in Newark, and Don Brunell of the Buggy Tavern in Brandywine 100.
Now, you mentioned that there are some people who might have maybe higher profiles, greater significance. Who are those people who might be considered missing in this first round that perhaps the hall will look at as it moves forward?
Well, I think the two most obvious ones are certainly Brandywine 100's George Thorogood, who made Bad to the Bone a national catchphrase, and Wilmington's Johnny Neal, a blind singer, writer, and keyboardist who is well known for his stints with the Allman Brothers Band. They need not worry. Hall co-founder George Wolkine tells me that both Thorogood and Neal will likely be the headliners of the Hall's second class.
And a lot of times it's good to have those headliners at some point, just as you start to try to build interest in the hall, build fundraising and things like that. Sometimes having recognizable names helps.
Well, having recognizable names helps, but again, in this particular instance, just to get that first class recognized and the whole issue of finding a venue to do that, they settled on having the induction ceremonies at the Baby Grand. Walkind would like to maybe have a little bit bigger stage if he's going to bring George Thorogood and Johnny Neal into town to be inducted. The Baby Grand is a fine venue, but he'd like something maybe a little bit bigger, because these guys, if they come in for an induction, are likely to draw a very, very large crowd.
Well, any Hall of Fame is about more than just the inductees. There's photos, memorabilia. In this case, of course, the music itself that helped tell the story that the Hall's trying to tell. How much will these things be part of Delaware's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Well, right now, they really won't be, because, as I indicated, the Hall doesn't have a venue yet, nor does it have the resources to acquire one. Now, George and Paula Walkind, who are two of the Hall's co-founders, have been collecting photos of the older groups. Another one of the co-founders, Stephen Leach, who hosts an oldie show on the University of Delaware's WVUD, has an impressive collection of old 45s. If the Hall ever does get a physical home, those items would certainly be on display. Meanwhile, rock fans will have to content themselves with visiting the Hall's website, which is DelawareRockAndRollHallOfFame.com, where Leach has written a history that's focused on the Delaware rock scene of the 50s and the 60s. And besides the pictures of the old rockers, the site includes images of many of the old 45s that they recorded. And if you click on the disc, in many cases, it will play that particular song, so you can relive those memories from the 50s or the 60s.
Is there hopes to build that website out in the next few years before any hopes of an actual physical place?
That's what I'm told. Paula Walkind is working on that. The website hasn't been updated in the last couple of months, but I know certainly they're planning on doing more. Maybe it'll be up and running with the induction ceremony or shortly thereafter, because I'm certainly they're going to want to include photos, images, and so on from the ceremony on July 15th.
So what are the hopes for an actual physical Hall of Fame someday?
Well, George Walkind hopes that will happen, but right now there's no venue in Delaware that stands out as an obvious site. There's no generous benefactor on the horizon, and there's no fundraising campaign underway. When we talked about the Stone Balloon and the Buggy Tavern, also Old Kahunaville, which is now the Delaware Children's Museum in on the Wilmington Riverfront. I mean, If they were still up and running, they could conceivably have been sites for a Hall of Fame appropriate venues, but hey, they're not here anymore. Anyhow, Walkind does have a kind of an interesting story along those lines. A couple of months ago, a couple of guys had found the address for the Hall of Fame, and the address right now is essentially the mailing address for Walkind's apartment. So these guys come down and they knock on the door, the manager's door at the apartment complex, and say, "Hey, we're looking for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." The manager says, "Hey, wait a minute," and he takes them down to Walkind's apartment, knocks on the door, and introduces the guys to George. And the guys tell George that they'd seen some construction down the road, and they were wondering, "Hey, is this where you're going to build the Hall of Fame?" And George says, "No, we're nowhere near that. But if you guys want a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, make a donation. I'll put the money towards the construction." The guys gave George $10, and so he's at least got his building fund started now.
If there were to be an actual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a physical one, would the Delaware Sports Hall of Fame at Frawley Stadium be kind of the model they would probably look at?
Well, I guess it could be. I mean, I've been to both Cooperstown and to Cleveland, so I've seen some parallels between halls of fame that are devoted to sports and to music. And I can see the Delaware Sports Hall of Fame perhaps being a model. Walkind's vision for the site is one that would be very, very interactive. Now, on the most basic level, that would mean you push a button and you can hear music by the Watson Brothers or the Sin City Band or some of the other forerunners of the Delaware rock scene. But another thing that he's got in mind is that this could be almost like a music studio. He'd like to see members of the Hall of Fame and other leading musicians in the community come there and play, give demonstrations, perhaps even give music lessons to kids, help to carry on the whole spirit of live performances in Delaware and be able to pass that forward to the next generation.
Opportunity to pay it forward, indeed. But as we've seen with some other halls of fame here in Delaware, getting a physical space may never happen. And some of those halls have kind of proven that that's not necessarily a problem to do what you want to do, which is kind of remember people and tell stories.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. There are other ways, alternative ways of telling stories and being able to do that without necessarily having a physical venue. I mean, Delaware's got halls of fame that honor athletes, aviators, business leaders, women, among others. Some, like the Special Olympics Delaware Hall of Fame, exist only online. Others, like the halls for women and business leaders, are smaller parts of larger structures. One of the people, the guy who runs the Business Leaders Hall of Fame, says, it's essentially a wall down the hall. So, and that's pretty much how they are. So, they're not tourist attractions, but if you know that they're there or you're passing by, you might stop and get a look at it. So, there may very well be a physical Hall of Fame in the future for Delaware's rock pioneers. We don't really see that happening now. But regardless of whether it's a physical site, it's merely online, whether it becomes a wall inside the Queen Theater or whatever, I think it is fair to conclude that given its 60-plus year history, rock and roll is here to stay.